All right. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Before I start, I'm going to ask the Lord to bless this. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for another day. Thank you for all that you've done, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be up here, Lord, and to be in your house, Lord. And thank you for the singing and the ability to sing, Lord, and just the ability to do what you've called us to do, Lord. And God, help us not to look over your will, and help us to really try to do what's right and what's best, and help us to follow the Holy Spirit and not neglect it, Lord. Please bless your word, bless this message. Get me out of the way and help me not to say anything I shouldn't, Lord, but help me to say what you want me to say, Lord. And I thank you for the book, Lord. Bless it to our hearts, Lord. Work on us and deal with us where we need it, Lord. And I thank you again for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to start in verse 34. If this fan will stop moving the pages. All right, verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. Thank you. Where are we at here? 36. There we go. Seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. First, I want to see in verses 34 through 37 that David had favor. We see that David had favor with God and man. In verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me, see, he had favor with God, out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. We see he had favor with man, with Saul specifically, as we're seeing in this passage. We see that David had favor with God and man when the Lord delivered him from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear. And a question I want you to ask yourself is, do you have favor with God? A lot of us tend to pass the the basics and just skip over them and forget them and try to be the strongest Christian in the world and try to be the best we can be. And that's the heart you should have, but you don't start at the top. You start at the bottom and work your way up. The thing is people just try to show off and try to make themselves look better than they are, which is pride. And as we get down in these verses, we'll see that the Philistine had pride, and that's what got him defeated. But the thing is the basics, prayer, reading your Bible, going to church, passing out tracts, those are all basic things. And we tend to skip over those and just pass them up, and it's so easy. It's passing out tracts. You can do that when you're anywhere, when you stop at a gas station, when you're at the store, when you're at work. There's no excuse. Nothing's stopping us. We can make excuses, invalid ones. But the thing is we skip over the basics. Reading your Bible, do you read your Bible every day? Do you pray every day? Those are all things that we can't do enough. And things that we can all work on, no doubt about it. But you can't skip over the basics. We see that God delivered him from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear, and the Lord can deliver you if you trust him. We see, number two, David had foes in verses 41 through 44. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. We see that the Philistine doubted him because of his youth. And the devil wants you to think that God won't use certain people because of their circumstances. But that's obviously not true. If you read your Bible, you know that's not true. God uses young people, he uses old people, he uses crippled people, he uses blind people, deaf people. You hear about Fanny Crosby? She wrote so many songs and she was blind. And people make petty excuses to do nothing for God. That's ridiculous. She could have said, I'm blind. I can't write songs. That's impossible. I mean, that's an easy cop out. That's really easy. You can say, oh, I'm tired. I had a long day at work. I don't want to go pass out a track when I'm on the way home getting gas. That's too hard to see the other person on the pump right next to you and say, oh, I got to go all the way back in my truck and go in my door. And, you know, I got to grab a track and then I got to hand it to him and then I got to get back to the pump and I got to put my card up there and then take it out. It's just like, oh, you know, you might as well just not be getting gas if you're so tired, right? Just not be getting gas. There's no point. If you have time to get up out of bed, you have time to do anything for God. No excuse. Nothing. God gave you the legs to walk. God gave you, he gave you breath. He gave you eyes to see and ears to hear. But people don't use them for his honor and his glory. As you can see in the world we're living in today, everyone just wants to, it's all about me. It's all about me and what I want, and it's not about what God wants, because that's irrelevant, right? You know? It's overrated. No, it's actually not. Because God can take your breath away. God can take your sight away. God can take anything away. Let's see where we're at here. God won't use certain people. That's a lie of the devil. God will use certain people. He'll use any people. As long as your heart's focused on God. It doesn't matter what circumstance you're in. It doesn't matter if you're broke. It doesn't matter if you're rich. Just make sure that your heart is focused on God and that you're doing what's right, and God will take care of the rest. There's so many times in my day, just at work even, and there's so many times in life where you're just out and about doing your own thing. Remember? Because it's all about you, right? And you're out doing your own thing. And I've came across this myself too. I'm like, oh man, I could give that person a track. And then I'm like, oh, I got to go back to my truck, which I should be carrying them on me. That's a good thing to do, because you can always pass them out. But I was out at Bernard's the other day, and it was a rainy day, really rainy. I mean, it was just pouring down, and there are these people on the sidewalk and just sitting there, and you know, you could just tell they were broken souls, broken vessels that could be used for God. So I decided to go get a track. I got a few tracks because there was a few people, a man and a woman, standing by each other, and the Lord was like, you need to give them a track. And you know, if you're saved and you've neglected the Holy Spirit, you know that you'll feel bad, and you can't control it. You'll just feel bad until you give that person a track or you do what God said to do. And if you don't, you're probably not saved, because the Holy Spirit convicts you when you're wrong, and it's not a lie. That's the truth. Anyways, I went to go give them tracks, and said, here, let me give you one of these. Hand it to the guy, and then I finish my sentence. I said, it tells you about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hold my hand out. The woman says, I'm good. So maybe God didn't want me to completely finish that sentence when I gave it to the guy, so he would just take it. He's like, oh, money or something like that, you know? Me. I can get something for me. But the Lord worked that out. So I had another track, and then there was a guy, he had a moped. He was just out there on the sidewalk, and he couldn't drive in the rain, you know? So I'm like, here, let me give you one of these. And he said, thanks a lot, you know? So that's a blessing. If you don't pass out tracks and you don't do stuff for God, you're missing out. You're missing out on joy. I'll tell you that. And number three, if you're taking notes, I want to see that David had faith. In verses 45 and 46, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day into the fowls of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. We see that David trusted God over everything. You trust God over everything? You let fear control your life? And God's given us common sense. But the thing is you can't just obviously God has everything under control, but God gave you common sense to make decisions too. Remember, we have free will, as the Bible says. So you have to make some decisions with what God has given you, a brain. We see that David trusted God over everything. That's how he defeated the Philistine. And the Lord delivered the victory to David. And the Lord can do the same for you. We see later on in the verses, it talks about how he cut the head off the Philistine and held it up. Praises God. Back to the third point, though, the question that I want you to ask yourself is, do you have faith? You're not going to grow your faith if you're just sitting around in your little hiding place, you know, by yourself. You're not going to grow your faith by sitting there worrying about the things of this world, and, you know, just so focused on the world. You know, if you're focused on the world, you're not going to get anywhere. That's the main thing. Are you reading your Bible? That's how you're going to grow your faith, reading your Bible. Going out and doing stuff, you'll realize you need faith in this world. The Lord delivered the victory to David, and the Lord can do the same for you. For instance, a time that I had to have faith. There's multiple times, you know, being out around people. But me and my dad were, we were either headed up or headed back from Michigan one time. Really bad snowstorm. Remember that? Really bad snowstorm. There's just, you know, every mile or half mile, just cars out on the side of the road, you know, getting in wrecks and stuff. We're in the truck, and I'm probably about 11, 12 years old, and I'm like, man, this is crazy. right? You know, because the snow's coming down, the windshield wipers are clearing the snow, and then the snow's back on there, and it's like you can't see anything, and all you see out your windows is just people, you know, and it's discouraging, and it's like, it's hard to have faith in those type of circumstances. The thing was, is thankfully I had that childlike faith, and for some reason, somehow, God saw that in my heart, even though I didn't, I wasn't, you know, maybe thinking that at the moment. I wasn't, but the Lord saw my faith, he saw my fear, and he delivered us out of that, and that made my faith grow even more. Maybe I didn't realize it, but it's little things like that that maybe you don't realize that grow your faith in other parts of your life. God does that. God works in miraculous ways. But here's the thing, is God delivered us from that all those wrecks. We weren't a part of that. God moved those cars aside like Moses parted the Red Sea. No kidding. I'm serious. You just see cars going left and right, and we're going straight through. And God just directed that truck in a way that we couldn't have done that. There was no way. No way it was us. It was all God. And praise the Lord for that. Sometimes I get a little jealous of a childlike faith. Because, you know, you get older and you start getting a little maybe arrogant and ignorant. And you think that you can do everything on your own. But a kid knows that they can't do everything on their own. They have to rely on something. They rely on their parents. Rely on God. The parents should be telling them to rely on God. You know, not fully on the parents, but, you know. You need that childlike faith. Even as an adult, you just need it to get through life and for God's mercy and grace. We talked about David. I want to turn over to Daniel. Book of Daniel. Chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And that's the only way they were going to find anything against him, is if it had to do with disobeying God, because he wasn't going to turn on God. "Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. And the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." It's going to sound familiar, but we're going to look at the first point. Daniel had favor. We see they had favor in verses 1 through 3. "Pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. We see that he had favor. He had favor with God, and he had found favor with man, just like David did. We see that even in captivity, God blessed him, and Darius made him a ruler. And number two, we see that Daniel had foes in verses 4 through 9. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." The other rulers wanted to stop him, to destroy him. And the devil wants to destroy God's men. But God is stronger. And a few of the main things that the devil will use, not even the devil, our own flesh. A few of the things that will destroy God's men is pride and fear. You hear all these things nowadays about, like, you got gay pride and all that stuff, and LGBTQ, and you can see most of them are afraid. I mean, that's not a coincidence, but anyways. Pride destroys men. Fear destroys men. Either David nor Daniel let fear overrule their faith in God. And fear is a natural thing, but the thing is if you don't believe and don't trust that God's stronger than the things that cause you to have fear, then you're never gonna learn how to have faith. And by the way, forgot to mention this. The title of the message, though, is A Faithful Servant. We're talking about two faithful servants here. As you can see, if you haven't seen already, then I'd start reading the Bible and listening to what I'm talking about. We see one, David had favor, or Daniel had favor. Two, Daniel had foes. And number three, Daniel had faith in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and opened its and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He knew that if he trusted God, he would be victorious. And just remember that God can give you victory. The question, do you have faith in God? Do you trust that he will give you the victory? And are you a faithful servant? If you don't learn how to have faith, you're not going to make it through life, and you're going to come to destruction, just like the Philistine did. He had too much pride, and he didn't have faith in God. That's just the bottom line. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. That's biblical. I mean, that's the Bible. I mean, that's God speaking, you know? So, let every man be true, or let God be true and every man a liar. We're lying. Fear, pride, all that stuff causes destruction. And a thing that I've noticed is that a lot of things that are most, if not all sins, connect to pride in some way, shape, or form. Lying. Lying's connected to pride because you're lying to get your way and to get around something. And fear connects to pride because, you know, you want to keep yourself safe because you matter. You're the most important thing, you know? And all this stuff just connects to pride. But the three questions, ask yourself if you want to write these down, is do you have faith in God? Do you trust that he will give you the victory? And are you a faithful servant? God will give you the victory. You don't have to be scared about anything. You don't have to be worried about anything. But, like I said, you have to start from the bottom and work your way to the top. You know, it's not an easy ride. But God will give you the victory if you have faith in Him and if you're a true and faithful servant. That's all I got.